all starts with a root.
Oh, can you go?
An organism.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog.
A living, breathing feeling.
Bring on to the other side.
A being that comes to life. This living, breathing being is rock and roll. And this is Roots of Rock, podcast edition. Here's your host, Sean Tompkins.
Hey, I'm Sean Tompkins, and you're listening to the Roots of Rock podcast. Thanks for joining me today. I'm really excited about today's show, because a lot of the times on Roots of Rock, it's me telling you, the listener, about the history of a band, making connections to the influences, and trying to guide the show on a somewhat linear path back to the Roots of Rock for the featured band that we happen to be talking about for that show. But on this show, we will be joined by a special guest. We're going to get to the Roots of Rock by talking directly to a guy who's currently making some amazing rock and roll music. Shane Volk, lead singer of the rock and roll band One Bad Son, joined me for an interview on an insider's perspective on the Roots of Rock. Now, it was really cool to get to chat music with him and delve deep into what makes him and One Bad Son tick as artists. If you're a One Bad Son fan, you're going to love this. And if you're not already a fan, you will be by the end. I highly recommend you search them out and find them if you haven't already. So anyway, enough of me talking. Let's get to the interview. I recorded this back in March of 2018, and it aired on the radio on the first weekend of April. Joining us today is lead singer, frontman, and founding member of the one and only One Bad Son. Shane Volk, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, man. Really appreciate it.
What's One Bad Son up to right now? You guys have a new single out and you're about to go on tour, right?
Yeah, our third single, Hurricane, is out right now off of our record. Came out, I guess, in October. So, we've got a tour coming up with Shinedown in, I think, the next couple weeks. And, after that, it's going to be summer festivals, all that kind of crazy stuff. You know, summer's the best time. Outdoor shows, you can't beat them. So, we've got a lot coming up. So,
let's jump back in history a bit now. Let's go back to the formation of the band. Can you tell the story of how the band came together in the early days?
Our band is interesting. We're very I don't know how typical of a formation it is. I mean, lots of guys that I know, but there's a lot of bands that are family members, you know, like Glorious Sons, like the two brothers, Brett and Jay, and that sort of thing. But we're totally strangers. We didn't know each other. Kurt and I knew each other from different bands in Saskatoon. So we knew of each other, but we weren't friends or acquaintances even at that point. Hicks, I found Hicks, sir, found his name in Long and McQuaid used to have the, I think they probably still do, like the bulletin board, you know, with hey, guitarist looking for band. So I found Hicks that way. And honestly, same with Granny and our new bass player, Steve. Years ago, I had found his name that way too. So we're just very much individuals who were looking for, you know, the right people for a band. And, Kurt and I had a fateful meeting. He was working at a restaurant at the time serving, and I had my girlfriend at the time took me out for my birthday dinner, and there was Kurt, and he said, "Hey man, want a jam?" And I said, "Yeah." I said, "Is your band not happening?" He's like, "No." I said, "No, neither's mine, so let's go." And that was it. First One Bad Son jam was in Kurt's basement, in his parents' house, in his room, just the two of us. Then we brought Hicks in, and you know, it's been a ride ever since.
And that was back in 2004.
Yeah, 2004.
Is it crazy to look back and think you guys have been a band now for 14 years?
It's nuts, man. Weirdly, some of the stuff seems like a million years ago, and some of it seems like yesterday. You know, I remember early tours vividly. I almost remember too much from those early tours. A few things I wish I'd have forgot.
So one of your first hits in the early days was Alive in Texas, and that sort of got a lot of play in Saskatoon. Is that right?
Yeah, it was really cool. We had that was off our very first record. I mean, we had just gotten together. We had no sense of what kind of band we were. We had no sense of even really how to write good songs. We just, you know, came together, put this record together very quickly. And that song, yeah, kind of radio in Saskatoon has always been really good to us. And they, Kurt had a friend that worked at the station there, who's still a really good friend of the band, still works at the station. He always takes credit for saying he kind of got us on the map. But, you know, they were really good to us, played that song in particular, and kind of got us started, got our foot into radio. So, yeah, it was that was the song. That was the first one that ever got on radio for us. Well, you can come and find us.
That first album was called This Aggression Will Not Stand.
Yeah.
And I think we got to talk a little Big Lebowski.
Yeah, it's a Big Lebowski reference. Yeah.
That movie just hit the 20-year anniversary on March 6th.
Yeah, crazy. So yeah. Crazy. Because I remember we all loved that movie. It was early tours, and actually even still, every now and then we'll get together and watch Lebowski, and we watch, we watch Spinal Tap because, you know, that's just it's a classic. I don't know if there's any band that doesn't, you know, have Spinal Tap as some sort of weird influence on them. So I will say one thing, we did a tour with Edwin, you know, from I Mother Earth and Crash Karma at the time. And he said, you know, that movie gets less funny the older you get as a rock star.
I've heard Ozzy can't watch that. I've read interviews with Ozzy, and he's like, I can't watch that, man, because it's just my life.
I was going to say it's basically an Ozzy documentary.
So, that's right. It's way too real. It's like guys in the junior league at hockey watching Slapshot or something. It's like, no, that's just my life. I don't need to watch it again.
Yeah, when you were like 20, you watched it with a big smile, and now you're watching it with tears in your eyes. You know?
Do you find that, do movies, like your newest album is called Raging Bull, and is that a nod to Scorsese as well? And do movies have an influence on your songwriting?
Yeah, like the first single, the new album, Made in the Name of Rock and Roll, is a, you know, big calling card to just what we feel like we've become. But Raging Bull, the first single and our first number one, 100%. Like I'm a huge, movie buff, movie nerd, whatever you want to call it. Like I love cinema. I do some acting as well as music. So I've always loved film and theater. And so the song is not about the movie specifically, though. It's kind of about like the what that movie sort of encapsulates,
right?
You know, kind of boiled down into a 3-minute rock song. But yeah, totally. I mean, I kind of did like the Tarantino thing. Like, you know, he didn't, like Inglourious Bastards, Django, he just lifted those names and put, because he loved those movies, you know, so it's kind of the same sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, I'm just telling the world I'm like, you know, music's Quentin Tarantino, except for maybe not in my personal life, because that's a whole other thing now, but
that's right.
I'm just kidding. Just sometimes, you know what, man, you take your influences, and I mean, Raging Bull, that's a great title. I was like, that's a rock song. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, there you go.
I guess in my questions there, I kind of jumped from your first album to your last album. That's a good segue to ask about how has your guys' sound changed over the years, if at all, and how would you describe that?
Well, I mean, it's changed dramatically. Like I said, when we started, there was no real sense. I mean, we're, four guys. I mean, the core, the three of us, Kurt, Adam, and I, now, you know, Granny was with us for a decade, and he helped shape a lot of things. And now Steve, you know, is his own kind of force. But the, but in the beginning, it was really just, you know, three guys with very different musical tastes, especially at the time, I would say. I mean, we had a few things in common, but, you know, just trying to make songs, you know, and at the time, you know, it was a lot heavier, a little more, I mean, I can use the word misguided. We're like any band that starts, you don't know what you're doing, really. You know, you're just, you know, I want, you know, I thought I was in, I wanted to be, you know, Audio Slave and you know, bands like Black Label. I was like, let's write Black Label riffs. And, you know, Kurt was like, you know, listening to a lot of PJ and The Who and, you know, just kind of all over the map. And so I think over the last, you know, almost 15 years now, we've kind of stopped worrying as much about our influences and started to pay attention to who we are, you know, which is why we called the new record Made in the Name of Rock and Roll. It's a shout out to the fact that, like, yeah, we're a rock band, but we're our version of a rock band. We're what we are, you know. We're not, of course, all rock is derivative, all music is derivative, all art is derivative. But this time around, instead of trying to sound like a thing, we were just like, let's just write music that is us. And however that comes out, then I guess that's what we are.
Hey, I'm Sean Tompkins, and you are listening to a very special edition of Roots of Rock. Today, we are joined by lead singer of One Bad Son, Shane Volk. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, Shane is going to take us through the influences that guided One Bad Son to make the music that they're making today. You don't want to miss it, so stick around.
You're listening to Roots of Rock, podcast edition.
Hey, I'm Sean Tompkins, and you're listening to Roots of Rock. Today, we are joined by lead singer of One Bad Son, Shane Volk. I recorded this conversation earlier in the month, and we're going to jump back into the point where I started asking him about the bands that influenced him when he first started songwriting.
When I started to write music, I think one of the first bands that just sort of blew my mind was Rage Against the Machine. Like, I'm a child of the 90s. I mean, I listened to Soundgarden. Chris Cornell's my favorite singer. Between him and Layne Staley, they were just shaped so much of who I became as a singer and a lyricist. Mm-hmm. But when I heard Rage, I'll never forget, I was listening to Much Loud and Killing in the Name, the video for Killing in the Name came on at, oh, God knows what, you know, 1 or 2 in the morning or shit. And then it was just like, what is this? Like, I don't even know if I like what I just saw or heard, but it just blew me. Like, it was so different.
It was different.
Weird kind of heavy, but funky riffs, you know? And of course, Zach, he's no, you know, he's rapping, but in this, he just is so different. Like, so, there's so much passion coming out of that band. I mean, they were just so, so no official, you know what I mean? They're a politically charged just force. But weirdly, the music wasn't just, like, it's in your face, but it wasn't just, like, this negative, like, we hate everything. It was, you can dance to those riffs.
Riding around a family with a pocket full of shells. Full of shells.
you know, those albums really just blew me away. And I remember thinking, as much as I love Zach De La Rocha, and I you know, his lyrics and stuff are amazing, and I always loved that, what he did. But I also thought to myself, and I'm not even kidding, I thought, like, man, if there was like that kind of music with like Chris Cornell kind of singing, like, what would that band sound like, you know? And that's when Audioslave came out, and my like 21-year-old brain like exploded.
Talked a little Rage, talked a little Audioslave. Any other bands or sounds that you could think of that have influenced you guys?
Well, you know, obviously, like, I'm giving you stuff that was hugely influential early on. I mean, I've now moved on to start listening to a ton of different stuff. Old, you know, I mean, because one thing, it's cool because this is called Roots of Rock. And one thing you do as a writer is you take your influences and then you really start to listen to their influences, mm-hmm. you know? I mean, obviously, like Rage, they loved Led Zeppelin. There's a song that they have that's pretty much exactly Kashmir. Wake Up. If you listen to Wake Up and listen to Kashmir, you're like, oh, yeah, okay, I get it. But, you know, so I've gone on to listen to a bunch of Zeppelin. And, I mean, I think, you know, there's definitely some Zeppelin in our kind of riffs. I mean, I've always loved kind of single note riffing, songs like The Ocean. I specifically, I guess, one, this goes way back. Rust Bucket was a pretty, you know, since we're talking about this, it was kind of a knockoffy version of The Ocean, just in one part in particular. So if you listen to The Ocean, if you listen to the verses of Rust Bucket are very similar. Because, you know, if you're going to take influence from a band, it might as well be Led Zeppelin, right?
Hey, you're listening to Roots of Rock, a very special edition of Roots of Rock. We're joined today by Shane Volk, lead singer of One Bad Son. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back. Stick around.
Roots of Rock with Sean Tompkins. Podcast edition.
Hey, welcome back to Roots of Rock. This is the third segment in a very special edition where we sat down and talked to Shane Volk, lead singer of One Bad Son. Shane's taken us through the influences of the band, himself, and everything. And in this segment, I went all the way back to his childhood. Check it out. So what if you go way back, deep into your childhood? Is there a song that you remember changing from the moment when you were listening to the music that your parents would have listened to the music that then became your music?
When I heard, like, I heard a live version of Alice in Chains. What song did they play? It was, Rooster. Sorry, I have so many songs in my head now. I'm trying to losing track. But I remember hearing like a live version of Rooster, and it blew me away. Because coming off the farm and stuff, I never really had a chance to see a lot of live music, you know, big concerts. And so hearing a live version of that was just, it was kind of like I didn't know music would sound that good live. You know what I mean? Which is kind of cool when you're a teenager discovering stuff. So I'd say Yeah, yeah. Alice in Chains Rooster live just blew me away. Like, Layne Staley's voice live, it just had this, like, crazy rawness. And a, you know, the crazy thing is guys like him and Cornell are notoriously, like, not the most technical singers, but there was something about, like, the just this power and, like, this emotion that song, there's two notes in that song that Staley hits that just, like, you know, it's not even that they're exceptionally high or, like, maybe even exceptionally in tune, but they're just, like, it just blew my mind. And so, yeah, that song in particular, plus the subject matter of that song is so great. You know, it's a song for his dad about the Vietnam War and experiences like that, and it's just, forget about it. I'm like, it was a song that had a message. It wasn't just about, you know, there's nothing wrong with, obviously, songs about partying and this and that. I mean, you write a song about whatever's in your head, but it was cool. It was a song about something, and it just spoke to me. So, yeah, yeah, that one for sure.
Yeah, here comes the rooster.
Shane Volk, thanks so much for joining us on Roots of Rock today. This is a real treat, and yeah, we had a lot of fun. Hopefully you did too.
Yeah, dude, great. I'll apologize. I'm a bit of a babbler, you know. You ask me questions about music and art, and, you know, we'd sit here for probably 10 hours, so I appreciate you letting me ramble on here.
Oh, awesome. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, great. Sean, thank you so much, dude.
Hey, you've obviously been listening to the podcast edition of Roots of Rock. So glad you found us. Don't forget to hit up the subscribe button on whatever podcast platform you found us on to begin with. And if you're listening to us straight off of one of the Rogers Rock websites, again, thanks for listening. But if you like what you hear, head over to the Apple Podcast Player on your iPhone or Google Music on Samsung or whatever your favorite podcast app is on whatever phone you're on. And don't forget to hit the subscribe button so you can catch all the cool bonus content that we have planned for the podcast. Oh, and one more thing. Please, if you like what you hear, don't forget to leave a rating and a review and help us spread the word. Tell your friends, your family, your local grocery store clerk, your dog, your cat, your budgie. Tell them all. Thanks. Catch you next time.